Sandy, what is he? Is he a reincarnation?
Kind of. He's funk. He's funking out.
Yeah.
Never a bad time for that, by the way.
Oh man. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us, Sandy Williams, using the verbiage funking out.
Funking.
I said funking out.
Okay.
I know.
There's an N in that word.
I know.
You gotta hit the dump button, guys.
No. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And, you know, he's a co-host, and you guys can join us. Before we go to the phone lines, we initially started talking about the John Birch Society. And the Republican Party is in a tough situation, Sandy, that they may not, the people who really understand it, the political giants who've been around a long time, the moderates in the Republican Party, know that they're at a point right now. I was listening to Mitch McConnell on yesterday as he was saying he believes now that the Republicans won't retake the Senate because of the horrible candidates that Donald Trump put up, right? He didn't say that the Republican Party put up. Donald Trump.
Well, I think that the people who are old-time politicians understand that Donald Trump has got a gun to the head of the Republican Party, and he's basically saying, "Would you want power, or are you going to stick to your principles?" And unfortunately, almost all of the politicians, including Mitch McConnell, when push comes to shove, choose power over principles. And I think that that's a sorry thing, because people have a lot of trouble figuring out what Donald Trump's principles are, but they are very attuned to and in line with him as essentially a personality cult leader, and that is what's taken control of the Republican Party, at least in terms of the ability to choose primary candidates and who wins and who loses. Donald Trump has a pretty good record on that. So, you know, his candidates are going to reflect that sort of cult following. And the question is, can those people get elected in statewide elections? And we'll find out. And I'm sure Mitch McConnell's worried about that. But I'm sure he's also at least as worried about what will happen to the Republican Party in 2024 when Donald Trump runs for the nomination, if he doesn't get it. Because they all understand that Donald Trump has the probable tendency to run off with his following and run for president as an independent, which would destroy the Republican Party. So he's got a gun to their head, and I'm sure they are frightened about the prospect of not giving him the nomination if he runs for it.
Let's go to CJ. Good morning, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy.
Hey, listen. Don't go to the Democrats. We're talking about the Republican Party. So go ahead.
Well, I love hearing Democrats try to describe or tell us what conservatives
we're
believe.
Not blind. And we're remember. Not blind or deaf. We can hear and see.
CJ, I'm interested. Obviously interested in hearing what you think. And that's an important discourse. So what is your purpose in calling? Now, I did want to correct one thing, though. In the last time you and I talked, you suggested that the Attorney General Holder was held in contempt by a court. He wasn't. It was by the Republican Congress. And I did have a question for you that I wanted to ask. I thought of it on the ride on the way out here, which is, you obviously are skeptical about the integrity of the IRS because of, for instance, Ms. Lerner's approach to potentially politicizing the granting of 501c3 status back in 2013. And And you're concerned about the politicization of the FBI because of maybe that correspondence between Stoltz and his girlfriend, which suggested that they were Hillary Clinton supporters, and they were involved in the investigation of the Russian connection for Trump. So that made you skeptical about them. Are you skeptical about the military-industrial complex? Because, you know, we found out over the years, your years and mine, about Vietnam and the untruths we heard there. We found out about the foolishness of staying in Afghanistan for 20 years. We found out about the lack of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And we've spent all these hundreds of billions of dollars. And are you as disillusioned about the integrity of the information that you're getting on that side as you are about the FBI and the IRS?
Well, I'm skeptical of the timing of this raid, but really, I had to call.
Well, no, wait, CJ,
let me explain. No. You asked why I called. Let me just quickly explain.
You just ignored the questions he asked.
Well, I do think, CJ, it's fair for us.
Skeptical of all of it.
Well,
I'm skeptical of both sides.
Okay,
both parties.
But are you skeptical about the for instance, the military-industrial complex? Because you've seemed to adopted kind of hook, line, and sinker. I'm not sure that it's a Donald Trump position, but the notion that it was correct for the the visit to Taiwan that occurred, you seem to be totally in support of the speaker's visit to Taiwan, and that the proper position of the United States with respect to Taiwan is that we should be supporting them wholeheartedly and providing them with arms and maybe military support.
Well, Fanny, I'm a Ronald Reagan, peace through strength, and trust but verify, okay? And, you know, really, I had to call because when you guys were talking, I heard you talk about William F. Buckley. Most of my positions are based off a libertarian conservative methodology.
Yeah, okay.
I used to love watch Crossfire, Robert Novak kick Press's butt. Yes, Bill Novak kicked Bill Press's butt on Crossfire. But I want accountability. That's my belief, whether it's the Trump family or the Biden family. I want to know the truth. And I don't think we're getting the truth about either. So, but this timing, see, the mere fact, you know, we're in a less safe world. We're in a less prosperous world. And this is a distraction from the failures of this administration.
Well, CJ, I think you're onto something because I think one of the problems we have right now in U.S. society is that everybody has become skeptical and cynical about the government. You have a skepticism and cynicism about it from your angle, and I think the progressives have a skepticism and cynicism about it from their angle, and that it hasn't delivered enough to them. But
they don't want to know both sides, though, Sandy.
That's not fair.
You don't want to know the other side.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Senator Johnson is running against Mandela Barnes, and I heard a Marquette University pollster say as people get to know Mandela Barnes, are you aware that he believes in defund the police abolish?
See, Sandy, this is why I have a hard time giving. The amount of time to CJ that I do. Because he changes the subject from the things we're talking about.
Well, CJ, in any case, I think the press, here's what I know. I know that, yes, Mandela Barnes gave voice to that position during the Black Lives Matter movement. I also know that during this campaign, he has backed off from that position and stated something different. Now, wait, is that funny? Because Donald Trump, has taken every position on every issue.
You never see Black Lives Matter anymore, Sandy. You never see them every weekend in Chicago when hundreds of people are shot, and usually it's young black men, and you never hear from Black Lives Matter anymore because they're sitting in their pool.
So let me say this to you, man, because you don't hear from Black Lives Matter. Because we're hearing from the Republican Party right now about defund the FBI. So don't hide.
That's an excuse so you don't hear Black Lives Matter anymore.
So don't turn it around.
Black Lives.
So don't turn it around, CJ.
I don't even understand, CJ.
I know it's just a waste of time.
Well, speaking facts though.
Well, disillusion. Why don't you guys get disillusioned about your own party once?
Well, are you disillusioned?
This isn't about Donald Trump anymore. This is 2022, and we're less prosperous, and we're less safe around the world and in our own cities that are run by Democrats.
Well, CJ.
This is why it's hard to have a conversation with CJ.
It is.
What point am I making that isn't true, Earl?
So turn him off because I can't take him anymore.
Well, I think, wow, the coincidence of Democratic control of cities is really just the nature of the political world today, which is that cities.
How about the district attorney, Sandy? They walk away from these criminals 41 times. That guy in New York.
Hey, CJ. You know, I don't want to waste any more time.
I love your show, Earl.
Listen, I don't want to waste any more time with CJ. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you try. Well, you try, right? I try.
Well, I mean, it's hard to have a discourse when all you do is jump from one subject fact to another, and the facts are factoids, meaning they're plucked from there's a whole plethora of facts, and if you only pick a factoid here and a factoid there and lay that on the table as if it's dispositive of all issues, that's not a discussion. So I'm afraid that's what to be honest with you, I think it's a good object lesson, our conversation with CJ, because I do think the sides ought to be able to talk.
Sandy, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Tom, I see you. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
I'm wishing on a star to follow where you are. I'm wishing on a dream to follow what it means. I'm wishing on a star.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. This Friday's with Sandy Williams. And as always, you can join us. You tune into the Earl Ingram Show. And Sandy,
rather than talk about CJ personally, I would just say that conversations like that involve pulling factoids out of the air and then declaring them to be dispositive of broad principles and broad issues is the problem we've got now. It's like we're making a case against one another. You know, we've been trying to have discussions on the air that are broad principle discussions, trying to look at the facts. Quite frankly, I think we've been quite unpartisan about the way we've approached the discussion. And there are people who only want to talk about things making the partisan case. So, for instance, a factoid here or a factoid there about what might be the case. You know, he didn't mention it today, but the Steele dossier, okay, that's dispositive to people who want it to be, that somehow the liberal establishment has been tinkering with the FBI, and the FBI is under the control of the liberals, and that it's beginning of a police state. I mean, literally, that dossier and the issues associated with it, and the fact that it was used as one of the primary elements in obtaining the wiretap on the Trump headquarters, has become the evidence necessary to probably support this movement to defund the FBI.
You know, Sandy, I don't... Certainly, that issue is one that Republicans will always point to.
Well, but I mean, the history of the FBI is fraught.
I know,
with the opposite sort of thing. You know, the kind of investigations that were carried out on Martin Luther King. I mean, the fact is that police generally need to be policed, because the power of the police to carry out investigations and to do things that they can do in the enforcement of the law is fraught with risk, and it will always be. But that doesn't mean that you eliminate police or that you eliminate the FBI. You just need to have the right kind of oversight. We do. We have oversight associated with getting warrants. And quite frankly, the oversight has worked. We found out about these problems.
You know, Sandy, so it's hard for me to have a conversation with CJ when he wants to talk about defund the police at the same Black Lives Matter, defund the police, which you haven't heard anything about and repeated. But right now, today, there are Republicans saying, elected officials, defund the FBI. So when we bring that up and want to have a discussion on that, CJ doesn't want to have a discussion on that. He wants to fly to, well, can you believe that right now they're saying, you know, the Black Lives Matter? That's not in the news today. What's in the news today is, whether CJ wants to admit it or not, congressmen and others who are talking as if this defunding of the FBI is something that should be said, and it's okay to say that. And so let's do this. Let's go to Tom. He's been waiting long enough. Thank you very much, Tom. Really appreciate it. What's going on?
Good Friday morning. First off, we the people are the government, and that includes all of us, CJ. We are all part of the government. That's why we pay taxes. Also, the Republican Party is the party of pro-death and of pro-murder. What I'd like to say is that, you know, we talk about CJ as an example of someone that is way out in right field. But the real problem is the people that are in the Congress, the people that have the power. I don't believe this of all Republicans that are voters, by the way, but the people that are in power think just like CJ does. They have voted against every single thing.
I was a Republican nominee.
I don't know. Did we lose?
Yeah, it was a error on my half.
Okay, call back,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, they'll call back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, I mean, the Republicans have voted against every single thing that has been to help we the people. I don't understand how, when you have a person like CJ, which is a lot of the Republicans in Congress, how it is that you're supposed to even negotiate, or how it is that you're even supposed to come to common ground, because that's exactly what they believe. Holding Mitch McConnell, holding Merrick Garland, a Supreme Court nominee, away. That's something CJ would have done. So I think it's a much bigger macro type thing than just a micro that CJ's crazy. They're, the people in power are crazy. Also, I do want us to say, let's get out of this false dichotomy. There was only like one person in the movement that said anything about defund the police. Somehow that became the big thing on Fox and every OAN and every Newsmax and every channel that's out there that said that's what the Democrats. Democrats never said that. They've talked about reforming the police. They've talked about making it so, therefore, we don't have some problems. But no one has said, let's get rid of the police. And the Republican Party is the one. The people in power are actually saying defund the FBI. They don't like good government. Hey. They want everything privatized. They don't want
Tom, we got to go to the break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. See you. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sherman, you can call. You can call in now, and we'll get to you. You know, Sandy, I was reading this article this morning. And it is an article in The Hill, and it's from Bernard Goldberg. You ever heard Bernie Goldberg? He's an opinion contributor, and for The Hill, and he's been around a long time, well known. And he talked about the fact that why I quit the GOP. There's something going on inside of the Republican Party, and whether, you know, people like CJ or others don't want to face it, it is. Donald Trump is, and here's what, Sandy, he's as powerful a personality that there's ever been, whether you like him or not, in the political arena, ever.
Yeah, I think, well, certainly in the modern era of media, where personalities can have such a broad reach and have such a direct relationship with so many people, and Donald Trump has been the best at exploiting that kind of relationship that's been created through the media.
You know, Sandy, the reason that it keeps just grinding on me is because it's almost like our government can't prevent him. We see that he's not good for, I think it's safe to say Donald Trump is not good for our nation. A guy who's selfish, self-centered, will do anything possible. Not the most learned guy, Sandy. You know, character's not the greatest. He's not just the kind of guy that you would say, people would say, this is, you wanted to find someone to represent our country and our government, you wouldn't go and say, well, here, Donald Trump, that's the guy we want.
Well, to me, he manifests most clearly the division between power and principle. And he's made it very clear that he stands for power. And he's going to exercise all of the power he has to the max, because he said that's the way. He's even written about that you know, that you want to frighten people. That frightening people is a way of exerting power, and you want to exert as much power as you can control. And furthermore, the Republican Party has adopted this principle that it's most important that they remain in power. And so principle has become less important, and it's been dropped away institutionally. Whether the individuals within the party retain personal principles is another question. I personally think that Mitch McConnell has to swallow hard every morning, because I think he does understand the principles that he actually personally stands for, and he has to swallow them every day that he doesn't bring them to the fore and basically fight against the Trump version of the Republican Party. I think he was breathing a big sigh of relief that day after January 6th when he could say, enough, we're done.
Right.
You know, Lindsey Graham, same way, enough, I'm done. And then once again, the power was reasserted by Trump. It reemerged as a populist hero, and all these people knuckled under, gave up their personal principles, and resubjected themselves to the power. It's really satanic in nature, and I'm saying that much more prosaically than I am judgmentally. I just think that the power that's being exerted has this satanic aspect to it, and much of this power over principle is dependent on the notion that liberals are un-American, that if liberals get a hold of power in America, they will tear apart the fabric of society, tear apart the fabric of American society, and therefore the means justify the end. It's terribly important for the Republicans to stay in power to keep that from happening. And they are manifestly acting that out. They're trying to restrict voting rights, and they're clearly doing it in a manner that's designed to make it as hard as possible for those who aren't Republican to vote. I mean, it's all being done scientifically, but it's being done very clearly.
You know, Sandy, it's us against them. It's the Hatfield and the McCoys, and it's happening at a time, I think, Sandy, when our nation can least deal with it.
Yeah, but interestingly, you started this show with a discussion of the John Birch Society.
Right.
The John Birch Society was a sort of an echo of the Joe McCarthy era. It was a time when liberalism was viewed as being communist pinkos, and a liberal was a pinko, and pinkos were dangerous people who would bring this country under a rule of communist sympathizers, which would ruin America. And I think that's exactly the image now that's been painted of liberals, which is, without saying it, that liberals are essentially pinkos, people who will destroy the fabric of American society, and they need to be stopped in all and any way possible. And that's why power has been gotten ascendancy over principle in the Republican Party, because the Republican Party views its fundamental purpose as being the need to block the ability of liberals to take control of our country and tear it up.
Well, here's the part of that, Sandy, and I concur 100%. But here's the part of it I don't understand. We just had the governor on, and the governor was talking about the fact that the opioid crisis is the number one killer in our nation now. Young people are dying like flies, and families are being destroyed.
Well, and all over the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's not just in this city. It's not an urban problem anymore, which is when it jumped out of the urban areas and into rural and suburban areas, it became a national crisis.
And that's what it is,
yeah.
A national crisis. And that's and the lawsuits against the major pharmaceutical corporations and all of that.
We saw Walmart, these major retailers are being asked to pay, I think, $750 million.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the sheer numbers of people who are caught up in this and their families.
Well, but then I think Governor Evers mentioned the reason, which was they didn't want to be able to have the Republicans
get
blocking
away.
It because they didn't want to have any success attributed to Governor Evers during this election year. So instead of following principle, which would be to take this $48 million or whatever the number was, and deploy it rapidly in Wisconsin to try and deal with the opioid crisis, they took it out of the budget. Well, that's power over principle.
Yes, but then I don't understand how, if I'm a person who's a Republican or a conservative and I've been voting that way,
mm-hmm.
and then I see that my party is holding up something as critically important as that. I've got to challenge my party. Hey, wait a minute. I'm with you on certain things, but there are other things that don't make it, that don't make sense at all.
Well, I think that the Republicans have learned that what goes on in Madison and what goes on in Washington and all this legislation actually does stay there. It's viewed as complications. What was in the budget, what isn't in the budget. When someone out there, Tom, Dick, and Mary open the paper or listen to something and it's about the state budget or the federal budget, their brain goes numb. Okay?
Yes.
So I didn't know that $48 million was in the budget that was now being taken out of the budget. Governor Evers had to tell me about that today. So I think the Republicans, these people who want to preserve power over principle, have realized that they can do whatever they want with respect to principle within legislation, and it gets ignored.
Well,
keeping Garland from being going from nomination to a vote in the Senate for the approval of his nomination it didn't matter.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the fact again, the governor, that $48 million was removed. We're not in Madison. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the issues are that they're voting on and those types of things. I remember constantly talking with the state representatives and state senators representing where I live. And I would say to them, you guys should make the citizens aware of the things that are going on that state level. We don't know what's going on. You know, with these votes and all those things, how can we be on time? Well, you know, it's public record. Well, it may be public record, but the average person's busy trying to live their lives. These kinds of things that really impact their lives, shouldn't we expect our officials to kind of bring that information to us and let us know that this is what's going on? I mean, we can't bird dog every vote that's taking place in Madison or Washington, D.C. This is a representative government. There are mouthpieces, right?
Right. And I just think that, like I've said before, though, things have gotten complicated, and complications are, and as things have gotten complicated, I think the American public has increasingly tuned out of complications. We used to have the media, which had the fairness doctrine, and which I think used to try to present things balanced. It isn't balanced. Now, you can turn on MSNBC, it's not balanced. You can turn on Fox, it's definitely not balanced. None of these stations are balanced. So you begin to get a very jaundiced view of whether you can wrap your arms around all of the complexities. I think what has to happen, you know, getting back to this sort of this problem of power over principle, is liberals have to reassert their power over the American flag and patriotism, and say that this is not a partisan. You know, they have to get rid of the whole subliminal message, which the American public has sort of bought into. Even liberals have to concede that the Republican Party has wrapped itself in the American flag and in the concept of patriotism, and liberals have become, and me as well, have become sort of disgusted with the principle of patriotism, because we wrap patriotism in the flag of all these conservative principles, right, which have seized it. So is patriotism married to gun rights? Is patriotism married to the right to life movement? If it is, then we don't want to be patriots. Liberals don't want to be. And so we have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of that combination and have to say that, look, we're all real Americans. Okay, liberals and conservatives are all real Americans. There is no risk to the American principles of democracy and the republic if we have liberals in control or conservatives in control. But that really isn't the way the American public is looking at it now.
You know, Sandy, we're all real Americans. That's the message that has to be the winner in the end, right? If that's not the winning message in the end, then we're all doomed. Then America is doomed.
Right.
People may not want to hear that, but it is doomed.
Well, I think the problem is that the parties, each party has to stop believing that their version of the best America is the only version that should occur, right? So the conservatives think their version of the best America is the one that has to prevail. And if it doesn't prevail, America's in danger.
You know, Sandy, version, kind of like, you know, the New Testament. According to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really where we are. Somebody's version of America. We're all entitled to that. Right?
Right.
But none of it is absolute when we're talking about version.
Right. And so we were talking off the air, and I guess we're maybe going to have another break.
Right.
But I think the real problem America has is developing a unified set of values amongst the American public. And if we all shared some real common values, we'd have a great deal more difficulty having this detached view of and this bias against one another. And we'd all have a sense that whatever the version of America, we are all Americans in our basic values, and that's what's important. And we don't share a view of basic values.
Well, well said, Sandy. You got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You know, I'm looking at Ron DeSantis.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Texas, that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Weeds, my co-host. You know, Sandy, I'm going to do this last one, and then we'll get into some other things. But federal judge temporarily blocks DeSantis' Stop Woke law. Let's go to the phone lines. Jeff, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, Earl and Sandy, I think there are Republicans out there that do have principle, and they're, you know, but the ones that are getting all the attention are the Trump supporters in the media and everything else. And so as a result, you know, there's people out there that know that this is, you know, that Trump is nothing but a blowhard. And yet, you know, all the people, you know, the press likes to pump it up. Isn't a day never goes by when you don't hear about Trump, right? I mean, you know, you're going along, and oh yeah, they took the papers out of Trump's Mar-a-Lago home and all this jazz, and so I don't know. I, like Sandy said, there has to be a more understanding of what really counts, you know, and to bring that out is important, you know, that you've got that that kind of a situation where people of different views can have understanding of each other. And
you know, Jeff, you started off by saying there are Republicans with differing views and those kind of things. And yes, there are. Sandy and I both agree that all Republicans aren't like Donald Trump. But he's winning.
Yeah.
His side is winning.
Right, right.
Well, yep. I think there are lots of Republicans with principles. I just think that there's some basic concept that Trump is striking a chord with millions and millions of people that is causing them to vote for him and to bury their principles beneath something they think is more important. And I'm afraid that more important thing is that they have all become terrified that liberals pose a terrible danger to the country. For some of those people, liberalism is related, I think, to race and fears of race. To some of these people, it relates to government regulations that they find particularly intrusive and that they want to get rid of. Some of it reflects a fear of government generally. And so, you know, I think that what's happened is Trump has struck a hidden fear factor that you know, fear overrides rationality in every animal. It's the lizard part of our brain that causes us to stop thinking and to react fearfully. And I think that Trump, and I think he's even written about this, I think he understands that if you can make people fearful, you have control over them. And I think he's been very good at creating fear. And I actually personally fear the notion that this search and seizure at Mar-a-Lago has allowed him to take this issue now of the fear of Big Brother, and that, you know, the Republicans and particularly the Trump Republicans have been very quick to turn this into, look, this isn't about the FBI invading Donald Trump's house. It's the fact that if they can do this to Donald Trump, they can do it to all of you too, which was sort of, you know, which is the inverse of the rule of law, right? Like, what we should be saying is we should be cheering and saying, look, the rule of law really applies here because they do this to all of you, but they also do it to Donald Trump.
They're also right now, they've got people believing that the IRS is going to come into the average Joe's home, right. and they're coming with guns and weapons. And
well, the IRS is going to audit you,
yeah,
Tom, Dick, and Mary. You know, and so, you know, I'm just saying that they've come to understand this very strong psychological power. It's a little bit like Madison Avenue has done a deep dive on psychoanalysis and has handed this information to maybe both parties, but the only one currently willing to really use it effectively has been the Trump part of the Republican Party, and he is able to exercise this fear trigger over even Mitch McConnell and others, who I think all of us understand that Mitch McConnell seems to be a man who has some old-time principles, but when push comes to shove, he buries them.
All right, let's go to Sherman from Caledonia. Hey, Sherman, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
It's Sandy. Okay, hey, I was listening. First of all, great topic this morning. And listening at Sandy and what he was saying, the one thing I think he left out, or he can't put his finger on, what is the attraction to Trump and tribalism, one, and the us against them mentality, you know, and you guys were talking about it earlier, how the middle class has shrunk and almost disappeared. The middle class as I know it, and I'm 64 years old, that middle class is gone. And a lot of those people's kids, because I have a 42-year-old and a 25-year-old and an 18-year-old, or my oldest grandkid's 18. Their America is totally different than mine. And Trump tapped into, and I don't mean this in a racial thing, but disgruntled white people. And, you know, they're looking at, my kids aren't going to have a better, as good a life as I had. The factory jobs are gone because they're in China, you know, in Mexico. And they're just disgruntled. And when your life plan didn't work, it takes a big person to admit it was my fault. If somebody gives me somebody else to blame, then that takes that off of me. And that's a lot of what I see when I'm talking to people in the grocery store and things, and just listening to what they're saying. And it's like, okay, you know, but what about the roads? How many times have you had your wheels lined up in your vehicle this year, you know, well, four times. It costs $120. That's $500. If they fixed the roads, then you wouldn't have to do that much. But every time Democrats start talking about doing something, well, where are we going to get the money to do that? You know, and this is wasteful spending. But we spent 20 years in Afghanistan. I heard a gentleman, one of the generals, say yesterday, we were spending $300 million a week. $300 million a week for 20 years. And then as soon as something happened, the whole country ran. And then you contrast that with Ukraine. You know, Ukraine stood up to fight. Okay, cool. We're helping them. If the Afghans had done that, they had 360,000 people we paid every 2 weeks. We paid them.
Hey, Sherman.
And they couldn't rent.
Hey, Sherman, I wish we had more time. We got to go to a break, but you sound like you know a little something. Keep listening, man. Keep calling.
He's right on.
Got to go to a break. Tom, I see you.
Okay, yeah, I most definitely will.
Right, thank you. We'll be right back.